Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. Hi, Selena.
Hello, Vicky.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. It's lovely to see you. I'm going to take a little photo because we've left our videos on today. Not that anyone can actually see that. I want to take a little picture. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm just noticing we are matching today. I've got my orange peachy hat on and Selena's got her peachy top on.
This is not a surprise to me because what I have unapologetically done over the last few years is basically take on Vicky Pavitt's style. My winter look, our very good friend who lives two doors down from me, I was just like, I'm basically dressing as Vicky Pavitt for the winter and it's really working for me. I've got this big padded black oversized jacket which keeps me warm and snuggly and this brilliant sort of little peach woolly hat, very similar to the one you're wearing right now. And if I'm dressing like Vicky Pavitt, I know I'm doing something right. I've got the high-waisted balloon jeans.
Yay!
The sweatshirts. I mean, it's a look. It's a great look.
We are miles apart, but connected through colour.
Through our wardrobe. Maybe a bit creepy for you that I'm basically dressing like you these days.
No, I love it. I love it. More peach in the world. More orange and peach. So today we're going to be talking about our experience and some of the lessons that we've learned in doing 28 Days of Love. Mm. And I worked out that this is actually our seventh year.
Is it?
In a row doing 28 Days of Love.
Wow. It's so interesting, isn't it? To look back, I really resisted it. There's so much resistance the first couple of years. And I was also thinking about sort of 3 or 4 years ago, almost every single one of my daily acts of love revolved around some form of sleep or rest. I was so exhausted. I think it was around probably the years where I was still going through the burnout cycle on a regular basis. And I was just so lacking in sleep and rest that was. So it's so interesting each year how differently I respond to self-love and how different the acts of self-love are.
Yeah.
And where the resistance is. This year, I've really felt a resistance to sharing about self-love. I've had this weird feeling that, like, people aren't into it. They're going to roll their eyes. They're going to think it's really cringy. Really weird. I've never had that one before.
That's interesting.
Yeah. How about you? How have you found it?
I think I have realised that these days I show myself love and care every day. I mean, we all have off days, obviously. I'm not perfect, but like 9 times out of 10, I naturally show myself love and care every day. And I think that is a result of us doing this year after year. Mm. And eventually the habit has just really stuck for me. And in doing this challenge, I really reflect on, you know, the experience of doing it in earlier years. And I remember the first year we did it, how burnt out and stressed out I was. It was back in 2016. And I struggled. It took a lot of effort for me to make sure that I did this act of love for myself every day for 28 days. And I remember thinking prior to that challenge, the year that it began, that the only bit of quality time that I had with myself just before I started this challenge was like at the end of a working day. I would work late, I would come home, I was working in an office job at the time, I would come home, I'd have dinner, maybe watch an hour of TV, and then I'd sit with my herbal tea in bed and I'd have 10 minutes to myself before I'd go to sleep, wake up, and then the cycle would repeat. And my self-love was so lacking and I felt all sorts of resistance to doing it. And I know we've talked, because every episode we've talked about our lessons, haven't we, in doing it. And it's been interesting to just
every year
to notice how it's just a part of my life now. And that shows what's possible when you consciously try and build a habit like self-love.
Yes.
But through that conscious effort, eventually you'll find a way, or for me anyway, I found a way that it's stuck for me in a way that feels very natural these days, but it didn't before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because it is what we like to call it, like it's your self-love muscle. But it is like a muscle the vast majority of people, self-love, when you first come to it, really does feel like, or can for a lot of people, feel very alien, very uncomfortable, very unlike them. They're not that kind of person. That certainly was the case for me. And it can feel clunky, and there can be so much resistance to doing it. I still find resistance in different ways to doing it. But it is your practice, you know, with practice. Love is a practice. Self-love is a practice. And so the more you do just take those tiny little steps, that's why I love it. It's a daily act of self-love. And this has been a reminder that it can be just 2 minutes of something done for myself, with the intention of showing myself some love, can impact on the rest of my day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've got to have this dose of real, like, I love you. You are worthy of this. It feels amazing. But it also, I've noticed on the days that I do it, because I'm going to admit I haven't done it every day, and I'll get onto that in a moment. But on the days I've done it, it's also had an effective sort of recalibrating my inner GPS. And throughout the day, I've then been choosing just little simple pleasures. No, I'm going to give myself that. I'm just going to sit down and enjoy this cup of tea. Mm-hmm. Even after it's like bonus little acts of self-love and self-care. I think it's important to distinguish between self-love and self-care. And sometimes I do find myself, it's more self-care that I'm doing. And I have to remind myself that it needs to be self-love. But it's definitely over the years, each year we come to it, I realize how much that muscle, that self-love muscle, has strengthened and how life-changing that is.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've learned over the years in doing this challenge year after year is that, like, understanding what... I discovered my self-love language is the same as my love language. So this sounds a little bit obvious to say, but I didn't realize that when you know your love language in relationships, that actually that's how usually how you like to give love to yourself, you know, in that same language of love. And I found that the most powerful acts of love that I give to myself are rooted in those two acts, those two love languages that are like the most dominant for me, which is quality time and words of affirmation. And when I give myself love in that way, like quality time, I think is like up there. I love spending time with myself. I love like slow mornings of writing and journaling and walking in nature and just like checking in with myself. It's just so loving and nourishing to me. And I realized, that's it. That's the thing that's so meaningful to me. It's the quality time with myself that's always like resonates with me the most. And there might be people listening that think, that's not my dominant love language. Maybe mine's touch, or mine's acts of service, or it's something else, or it's gifts, you know, buying yourself gifts. But I think discovering that, and we'll put a link in the show notes to the quiz, discovering that for me was really powerful, because then I can, I have my go-to ways of how I show myself love that are like the most powerful for me.
I think definitely the quality I think we've got basically the same love languages: quality time, words of affirmation. Although I did a relationship course almost a year ago, and we visited this of the love languages, and I realized actually that one of mine is touch.
Ooh.
Is quality time and touch. So with Fonz, it's like just that, the touch, the whole, like, just, you know, reaching my hand out to sort of touch him and hold it. And like, and with Sammy, we are two little hug bugs. We're like constantly hugging one another. Thank God Sammy's into it, because Fonz is slightly less so. But Sammy honestly says one of his favorite things is hugs. Like this, I'm just like, yes.
That's his love
language.
Have
I created this? I don't care. Either way, I love it. So we're like, hugs are the best thing in the world. So touch is one of mine. And that's an interesting one, because I haven't really explored that in terms of Well, I suppose I have from relationship myself. I have. But I suppose I haven't really looked at different ways to give myself that. But yeah, it's definitely something to explore. But actually, that one thing that I was just thinking there is it would be good to kind of define the difference between self-care and self-love. So how do you see the difference between self-care and self-love? Because they often get collapsed in together. I was speaking on the Monday crew. We had a live session last week and we were talking about self-love, but often what we found ourselves talking about was self-care. And I kept bringing us back to, let's just define the difference between self-care and self-love. So I'm curious how you see the difference, or do you see a difference?
I do think there is a difference, but for me, like when I am caring for myself, I feel loved.
Yes.
So for me, I don't notice a massive difference in, I'll give you a distinction. So there's like the really unsexy acts of self-care. You know, those things that we can do for ourselves that feel good, like, you know, having an admin session on like some bills that have come in.
Oh my God. Do you define that as self-care?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I do because I feel like when I do those things that I put off, I send a message to myself that you are on top of things, like you are tending to things that need to be looked at and taken care of. And it's really unsexy, but I feel really supported when I do those things for myself.
That is so cool. To reframe the dull admin, household admin, paying bills as self-care.
Yeah.
Okay, that's amazing.
And another one that we've talked about many times is going to the post office. You know, those admin tasks that are just, why are they so hard? It's just like, if I have to go to the post office for anything, I will resist it and put it off.
Oh my
but
God.
When I go, and I've spoken to my auntie about this because she has the same thing, and we've like, it's such a weird thing to connect over, isn't it? But I remember like coming back from the post office and I just felt so proud of myself. And it's so silly because it's nothing really, but to me, because it's something I put off, when I do something that I put off, I feel really proud that I do the things I say I'm going to do.
This to me really shows in all of this is the quality of your relationship with yourself and how loving and supportive that has become.
Yeah.
And was there a time when it really wasn't like that at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, God, I'd probably say my self-love journey started is about 11, yeah, it's coming up to 11 years ago. And before that, I never did anything for myself. Like not even, like self-care, I didn't even really know what it meant, or self-love. And I never spent any time with myself. I was always with other people. I lived in a house share with other friends, and I was always surrounded by people. I didn't realize the importance of like spending time with myself, and I was probably quite scared of spending time with myself. And I didn't have any hobbies. I didn't know what I liked doing. The idea of having a relationship with myself was so alien then. If someone had mentioned that to me 11 years ago, I would not know what they were talking about. So it makes me feel proud to feel, I feel proud of the relationship that I have with myself today because I've worked really hard to get here.
I mean, just feeling pride in yourself is huge. You know, a lot of people listening are like, God, I don't experience feeling proud of myself. But and just like you, there was a time when I didn't at all. God, the opposite. And now I do, and I really do. One of the things I've noticed over just sort of, you know, when we're doing 28 Days of Love, obviously it gets me doing the acts of love, but it also gets me just tuning into how I'm speaking to myself, how I'm being with myself. And throughout the day now, I very much experience this sort of supportive, caring, supportive, motivating, loving companion sort of energy to the voice in my head. Obviously, sometimes I'll, you know, t- tell myself off, berate myself, feel shame, all the thing, all the human things that still go on. But overall, that is the feeling of yeah, that inner voice. It feels like companionship, support, a kind of motivator, like I talk about in Burnt Out, my inner wise cheerleader, really is present a lot of the time. And it does make life enjoyable. Does make it quite enjoyable to live versus the terrible, shitty committee. The voice of that inner critic that I used to have ramped up so loud and 24/7 for so much of my life really came into being in my teenage years, which I think that is when that part of you develops in your brain. I remember reading this somewhere. It is in your teen years that essentially the shitty committee comes into being. And that was my inner dialogue for such a long time. And no wonder I suffered and was miserable as a teenager and in my 20s. And because I didn't have that lovely sort of supportive, I'm here for you voice with me. So with self-care and self-love.
Yeah, how do you define the difference?
Well, I feel like, so self-care, definitely getting that caring feeling, but it's a lot more kind of not maintenance, that sounds too cold. But it's very much self-care definitely comes into managing my energy, which was the sort of game-changing aspect for me of writing Burnt Out, was learning how to manage my energy. But that feels like self-care. Whereas self-love, which is part of managing your energy, but really filling up your cup, the emotional sort of energy zone, self-love has a sort of unique feeling to it where it's more than care. I'm feeling loved. I'm showing myself that I'm loved and I'm cherished by me. It's a different level of love. It's love versus care. Care is looking after myself, looking out for myself, but love, and almost sometimes a kind of that romantic love, the kind of love I only ever thought that I would get from that one romantic special person in my life. And you know, for me, it really was in my single years when you and I first met, we were working together, that I really went on my self-love journey and discovered this incredible sort of well-kept secret that you could actually give yourself the kind of love that I was always longing for from that one special romantic partner.
Yeah.
And so still to this day, it feels so special when I do that. And that I don't do all the time. Like, I suppose in my Monday crew check-in, the weekly check-in that you get when you join the Monday crew, there is at the end, write a message from your wise inner cheerleader, wise older self, your whatever, you know, higher self, whatever you want to call it. So I do that every week and it is very loving, but doing these daily acts of love. So one was I wrote, you know, a kind of Valentine's card to myself on Valentine's Day. Very quickly at the end of the day, like, quick, get the paints out, paint a big heart on the thing, scribbled it out. But although it was quick and it was rushed because we were on holiday and, you know, I didn't have that much sort of time. It still was, I really did feel imbued with love. And I remember we talked about this, I think it was last year when we were talking about our daily acts of love. And I had noticed that there was one day I was like, oh God, I've got to do my daily act of love. Turned on the bath, threw some salts in, like, you know, just almost like, oh, get it over and done with, tick. And it was lovely getting in the bath. But I realized that wasn't self-love because I wasn't doing it with the intention of loving myself. I was doing it with the intention of ticking it off my list, you know. And so the next time I had a hot bath, I was doing it with the intention of showing myself love. And it was imbued with this incredible energy. So it's not just the act. It has to be the intention behind it and the intention of love behind it and making sure that as I'm doing it, I've got that sort of inner, wise, loving, supportive voice right there by my side saying, you're doing this for yourself because you deserve love and you're worthy of love and I love you. And yeah, and so I think that's really important because there's been a few days where I've gone, oh damn, I didn't do my daily act of love. And then I'll look back retrospectively and see, oh, actually I took myself on that reflective walk or, you know, I made sure I had time to do exercise. And I'm like, well, I guess that counts. And it's like, well, I mean, it's great to see that every day I'm doing something that is an act of self-care or self-love, but I wasn't doing it with the intention of showing myself some love. So I missed out on that real dose of love each day. So I think it has to be, for it to really have its full power, it has to be something I do with the intention of showing myself love, rather than retrospectively going, ah, that will count. Quite the idea.
That's such a good point. And I think that is the key, isn't it? Like, everybody's acts of love will be different and meaningful based on what is, you know, what is meaningful to them. And if there is an intention of love around doing something that maybe, you know, isn't classed as self-love in the sort of broad sense, but when you do it, you feel loved and there's an intention of love, then yeah, the intention is the most important thing. Yeah. Such a good point. I find that when I'm doing things that have me going out of my comfort zone, so in relation to business, that is something I'm doing a lot of at the moment. And when I get scared or when I'm feeling, you know, uncomfortable or afraid when I'm doing these, when I'm going out of my comfort zone, I'm now learning to just stop and pause, put my hand on my heart and just kind of, you know, maybe remind myself why I'm brave and how I, you know, I'm okay, I'm safe, I've got this, and fears are normal when you're going out of your comfort zone, all those things. And the other day, just instinctively, I just grabbed myself. So I grabbed my arms around my body and I just went and just said to myself, I love you so much. And I'm just so, so proud of you. And you know what? It felt amazing, like to hug yourself in such an enthusiastic way.
Oh,
like that.
God, I've never done that. That sounds amazing.
That's never happened before. It was like, you know, when you grab someone, you know, like if you, it felt like if you sat opposite a friend and the friend was saying how nervous they were, or maybe they were afraid. And, you know, you grab that friend and you go, I love you so much and I'm so proud of you. It felt like that.
What is so amazing about self-love and doing something like that is that I don't think any of us, until you experience it, until you try it, and at first it might not feel, first it can feel clunky and it, you know, as we say, it's a muscle in a way and you have to practice it. And it gets kind of more deeper and sort of more beautiful and more easeful, I think, as you practice it. But is that, I don't think any of us ever thought for a moment that we could receive that kind of love from ourselves. And I was talking about this when we were discussing on the Monday Crew live session. We were talking about how, you know, when you're single, which is when I really got into self-love, but when you're single, you can sometimes feel like, well, I'm just doing this for myself because I don't have that romantic partner in my life to do it for me. And so it's just like you're almost like love coming from you is like the runner-up prize because you didn't get the real thing. And actually the huge shift for me, which I was able to do still while I was single, and I'd been single for like 8 years, was to suddenly realize, hold on, this isn't, I'm not doing this, I have to, because I've got someone else to love me. It was actually recognizing how powerful, of equal power, it could be to receive that love from myself as it was to receive that love from someone else. And we're not, we just are not told, you know, and this is where Project Love began at the very beginning, talking about this, is like, you know, looking at this narrative that we have in our society that love comes with this one special romantic partner, and going and challenging that narrative and going, no. And the most, for me, the greatest freedom and one of the greatest lessons in life has been to realize that, oh my God, I can cultivate that love on the inside. I can feel in love and I can choose to stand from a place of love even when I've been single for 8 years and there's absolutely no one on the horizon. And it doesn't, or regardless of my relationship status, whether I'm in a relationship, whether I'm not in a relationship, I can be the one to fill myself up with love and give myself the love that I long for, because there's no one in the world that knows better what I need to hear and what I need. No one. And I've at times even said to Fonz, can you just say, I'm really proud of you and you've got this. Look at me. I'm like, I know, just say it. And he'll be like, and then he will say it, but with meaning. He'll be like, I am really proud of you and you have got this. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And it's just like exactly what I needed to hear. But sometimes it doesn't even have to come out of someone else's mouth. You know, coming from me can be really powerful. And I think we underestimate that, that it always feels like, well, I'll do it because no one else is saying it to me. And actually, it's really not. I still find it every bit as powerful to receive flowers from myself. In fact, powerful in a different way. There's a magical, special quality to it when I've gone out of my way to buy myself flowers for me.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps because of what a horrible relationship I had with myself in the past, and that makes it even more special to therefore be receiving love and a romantic gesture like flowers from myself. It never. I mean, I get flowers now every few weeks delivered, but going out and buying myself flowers is like, it still feels really special.
It does. And I did that the other day for Valentine's Day. I got myself these beautiful peonies and they're this bright pink, purpley colour. And I felt amazing, like just walking, holding them, just walking home with them. And then just like getting to see them every day. Oh, it's such a joy. And every time, like every Valentine's Day, it seems to be for me, that's like a Valentine's treat. But I quite like that because then it feels so special because it's just once a year that I really buy myself these beautiful flowers. I mean, I could do it more, I guess. But I think because it's a Valentine's Day treat, I just really savour it. And you're right. It just feels so special to, you know, do those things for yourself that usually is so reserved for either doing for other people or, you know, or having, you know, other people give them to you, like giving it to yourself. And receiving, you know, that's really been a big theme on my journey of receiving, like receiving my own love and care, because I'm very comfortable in the giving space. But when you do it for yourself, you have to give and receive. Mm-hmm. You have to be in that space of both too and really savor it and enjoy it. And that's been a massive thing for me over the years, like learning. And I'm still learning to be in that receiving space. I still don't find it that comfortable. In all honesty.
I love the idea of you giving yourself that sudden self-hug and then one part of you was loving giving it and the other part was feeling slightly awkward in the embrace about receiving it.
The other part of me is like, get off.
You're squashing me. Oh, it's so good. God, so 7 years of self-love we've been doing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
So that's this is our seventh self-love lessons episode. It'd be quite interesting one day to listen back and see like all the different lessons that have been emerging as we've gone through.
7 years of self-love lessons. Yeah.
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 Oh, Vicky. Well, we've got an exciting announcement.
Yay!
Another journal is here. So, I mean, I think we did an episode on this about 2 years ago. Well, it must have been around when I turned 40, which obviously has yet to happen. No, it happened about 2 years ago. Two and a half, fine. No one's counting. Anyway, the point is, goodbye 30s, hello 40s, the journal is finally here. So I designed this for myself when I was surprisingly resistant and uncomfortable with turning 40. I thought I was going to be like, I loved going into my 30s. I thought my 40s would be the same, but they weren't. I went, oh, I didn't like it at all. So I created a Goodbye 30s, Hello 40s book for myself. And then when I shared it with the team at Pavilion, they were like, well, could that be the next journal? So it's been turned into a really beautiful journal with a sort of shimmery, beautiful cover. And it basically takes you through a beautiful reflection journey, looking back over your 30s, year by year, looking at your happiest moments, the challenges you overcome, what you'll remember that year for, the lessons you've learnt. It was really powerful for me because it was different to doing the year-end goodbye hello journal, which so often focuses actually on work stuff, career-related stuff, business stuff. But with the goodbye 30s, hello 40s, my work achievements and what I'd done and what I'd created barely kind of didn't have much of a mention. It was all about my relationship with myself as it evolved, because my 30s was such an important year for that. The people in my life, and the biggest one for me out of my 30s, doing this reflection piece, I came to the realization, was it was the power of sisterhood, that I had started my 30s not with that many female friends. And a lot of the friends I had in my 30s, I have a whole different group of friends now as I was entering into my 40s. And I really realized, wow, how powerful it had been in my life to really have this group of female friends kind of come into my life and have been such an important part of my life. And doing the sisterhood circles and how that deepened and strengthened the relationships. And, you know, we started Project Love and I had a baby and all of these sort of things. But it was actually, it was so interesting how with that bigger time for reflection, the greatest themes that sort of emerged were my relationships with others and my relationship with myself and the adventures I went on. I had my camper van adventure. I traveled around the UK for 6 months taking people on adventures. But my work played a much smaller part in that picture, which was so interesting to me and really important to see that actually, that, you know, reflecting back on your life, that the work, it was important, but not quite as important as you would think when you look at my end of year goodbye hello journey. So it really made me, it was a wonderful thing to do, to just say a proper farewell to my 30s and really acknowledge everything I'd been through and the gratitude that I felt for that journey and to see how much I'd grown, and also to then look at, okay, now I'm stepping into my 40s, which elements of that do I want to carry through and what do I want to leave behind, and sort of use this opportunity to step into a fresh new chapter and let go of some things, but absolutely bring some things through. Because I think sometimes as we're moving into a new decade, a sort of, there was particularly turning 40, I think it's suddenly like, not old age is on the horizon, but you do certainly sense this feeling of getting old. And there's a different set of, I think when you're turning 30, it's about, quite often people are measuring, oh, where they should have, where they feel they should be turning 30, where they imagined they would be turning 30. And with 40, I think there's a slight fear that I've noticed come up in myself and others around getting older and what that means. And now my sort of youth, I'm stepping out of my youth. And I was like, no, no, here are the things I want to bring along with me, and the fun and the adventure and, you know, going away for weekends with girlfriends. And like, no, I want to, this is all the fun stuff that I want to bring into the next decade. And doing that, recognizing you have choice, like you can still remain young and youthful. And actually I'm fitter in my 40s than I ever was in my 30s, so that's very reassuring, I think. But yeah, it was a really beautiful journey, so I'm really looking forward to other people going on that journey. And I think even if you're 41, 42, I've got friends who are sort of that age and they're going to do it, even though it's been a few years since they made that journey. It's and much like the other Goodbye Hello journals, it's a beautiful keepsake as well, a sort of record of your life in a way that we don't really, we do it through our photos. Obviously, lots of people journal, but when do you actually sit down and write a record of a whole decade of your life?
Oh, yes. And just turning your 40th birthday into a ritual. I just love it so much, because we did that for your birthday.
Yes.
We had our little ritual, didn't we? We went away to this cabin in the woods. And it was just so special to really honour such a special birthday. And now to have this keepsake, as you say, and the process of doing it and having you look back on your life. It reminds me, you know that show, This Is Your Life, with the big red book? It's like this. But yeah, oh, it's just so, it's so beautiful. It's such a good idea of something to really mark that occasion.
Yeah, I definitely want there to be goodbye 20s, hello 30s, goodbye 40s, hello 50s.
Yeah.
Goodbye 70s, hello 80s.
Yeah.
Goodbye 90s, hello 100s.
Yeah, well, who knows when we're all that age, what the technology will be doing then.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, really excited. And it is out today, as of today. So if you have pre-ordered it, then, you know, hopefully your copies will be arriving. But yeah, it's been designed to be a really lovely book as well that you can give as a gift to people on their birthdays. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what people get out of doing it and see people filling it in. So yeah, if you get yours, come and share with us at Love Project Love. Because I want to see it in your hands and see how you're liking it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Journals. I love journals.
We need to get you a jumper. I love journals.
I'm so obsessed with journals. Well, I've got another journal coming up, but we'll talk about that in our next episode next month. And yeah, we'll be talking more about... In fact, make sure you tune in to the next episode because we've got a big announcement to make. And yeah, we'll be talking about what things we've got happening over the coming months. So yeah.
Yes, don't miss that one.
Don't miss that one. We shall say nothing more.
Keep an air of mystery about it.
So what act of self-love are you going to give yourself today, Vicky?
Ooh, well, I wrote myself a love letter this morning.
Oh my God, yes.
And been out for a big walk in the sun. I did some tapping in bed. I'm feeling the love, let's say that. But I didn't, something I haven't done yet that I want to do, I didn't get round to writing myself a Valentine's card this time round, which I usually do. I bought myself the flowers and a little cake. But I really do want to write that card. So I think tomorrow that'll be a nice thing to do on the weekend. Write myself a little belated Valentine's Day card. Yeah.
Yes. And I think, oh, blimey. I do find it challenging, I have to say, finding like, right, where have I got the time? But I can find the time. And the idea, this, the whole thing of not finding the time, just got to be creative. I am picking Sammy up from school, but he will have some TV time. And in that time, I will be able to, I can use that time to go and do something, go and look at my list and treat myself to something. It can be simple, but it is that intention of that this is an act of love. And it's, the sun is shining at this very moment. Yesterday it was hailing. But the sun is shining at this very moment, so it might be even putting the cover on the deck chairs, which have been taken off, and sitting in the deck chair out in the sun with a cup of tea. In fact, you know what? I might do it straight away after coming away from this episode. Oh, yes. And having a loving word with myself. A loving conversation with myself, either in my head or out loud. I mean, you know, probably in my head. But yes, well, 7 years of self-love, been pretty special.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, lots of lessons learned.
Yeah.
Lots and lots.
All right, Vicky, well, I'll see you back here next month for our big announcement.
Yep. See you then. Lots of love, everyone.
Lots of love, everyone. Bye. You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.